You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, parents, I am excited to continue in our study through this great book by Paul Tripp about the 14 gospel principles of parenting. And I hope that you buy the book, you're reading along and using this podcast to kind of set up maybe the conversation as you're reading, using this in a small group with a mentoring couple, or even just with your spouse as you're just learning how to parent well. Because I know that's the heart of parents. We want to do it well. We don't want to break our kids, and we can oftentimes feel overwhelmed, confused, and lost. And if you haven't listened to the first podcast in this series, we did a brief introduction and we talked about what Paul Tripp calls the calling of parents. That this isn't a duty that we just try to get through and just survive. That God calls us to be parents that are a tool that He's using to bring our kids to know Him and to want to love Him. And so we have a very important role as parents, but we need to understand that we're the ambassador, we're not the owner. We don't control, we don't have the power to make our kids into what we want them to be. We're a tool that God is using, that we're training and mentoring and guiding them along. But ultimately, the power to change hearts is God's job, not our job. And so that can change the way we view parenting, that maybe some of you have just tried to put the thumb on your kids and just force them into submission. And I think what you realize, if you haven't yet, is that then what that does is creates resentment from our kids toward us, that they're not really understanding our heart of love. They're just thinking that we're just strict and mean and controlling. So I hope that you're thinking about this in your own parenting. I know this has been good for me, especially when I was in the active parenting years. I read this book a while ago, and it was challenging for me because, like we talked about last time, sometimes as parents, we can just be in survival mode. And what Tripp is challenging us is to view our role as parents, that we're ultimately, our purpose is to point our kids to Jesus, to embrace, to hear the gospel message, to embrace it, and to give their hearts to Jesus. Now, today, we're going to focus on his principle of law and principle of inability. And I just put these together because I feel like it flows a little bit better for me and just my understanding the way I'm framing this series for us. But today I want the focus to be on how rules are supposed to be used and how they're not supposed to be used. And what Tripp would say is when parents misunderstand the role of the law or rules, they unintentionally reduce parenting to more about behavior management. And his whole point in this book is that we're supposed to be shepherding our children's hearts. We're supposed to be teaching them God's ways. We're supposed to be, you know, when we get up in the morning, when we're walking along the road, like Deuteronomy said, like our job is to teach our kids about Jesus and God's truth and to bring that into our daily life, not just set up a bunch of rules and think that that's where our parenting responsibility ends. So here's how he frames the principle of law. Here's what he says. Your children need God's law, but you cannot ask the law to do what only grace can accomplish. So let's explore that a little bit. Here's an excerpt from the book. Our children are born with a desperate need for God's law because they come into the world as fools. They don't know what's true and they don't know what's false, what's good, what's bad, what's right or what's wrong. And they need the grace of wisdom that God's law alone can give. Apart from God's law, human beings wouldn't have a clue how they're supposed to think, what they're supposed to desire, how they're supposed to speak, or how they were designed to behave. Like all human beings, children were not made to be self-governing, that is, to be guided by independent thoughts and desires. Children need to be given tracks to run on and boundaries to stay inside of. So God, in His wonderful mercy, gives us His law so that our behavior would be guided by a clear knowledge of what is right and wrong. But the guidance of the law is meant to do something else. It's meant to protect your children from themselves, because all children come into the world as sinners. This means all children are in danger to themselves and need the protection that God's law gives. Because God's law provides your children with guiding and protecting wisdom that they would not have without it. His law is good for them. Okay, so there's kind of a lot in there, but this idea that first and foremost, parents, like we talked about last time, our own relationship with the Lord, understanding God's word, understanding the role of how the Ten Commandments were given, and that was the representation of God's character and His expectation. It set up the rules, right, of how we relate to God, how we relate to one another. And it was a reflection of the character of God and the standard that we have to meet a holy God. Well, as we know, as the Bible unfolds, we recognize we never could meet the standard. And that's why Jesus came. So you can see how this principle of sin and grace and the gospel message of Jesus, what he came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, needs to be a part of our parenting mentality, that we don't just, as parents, think that our job is just to set the rules and then just say, obey them, kids. And when you don't, you get punished. But there's no why behind it. There's no framing behind it. Why does it matter that we tell the truth and don't tell lies? Why does it matter that we don't steal a toy from somebody else, that we don't get jealous or covet? And teaching our kids that God's laws are good, they're for our protection, right? As Tripp said, it's like the rails, the guidelines for us to operate in. God does that for us, and then he gives us the responsibility as parents to teach our kids the proper boundaries, but that beyond just setting the rule, it's why the rule is there, why it's for their good. You know, just to explore this idea of the law and its limitations, we see that in Romans 3:20, where it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Same thing in Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Nope, certainly not. Nevertheless, I would have not known what sin was had it not been for the law. So this idea, parents, is that God's law is meant to set the standard and the boundary lines. So as parents, it's good for you to not only talk about God's rules and God's boundaries for us and how we see that reflected in the Bible, but then also for you as parents to have rules in your home, but that we don't focus and make the rules the main thing. Just like God didn't keep the rules the main thing, Jesus was sent to fulfill the law and to do for us what we could never do, because we're sinful and we're broken. So again, you can see how even in this principle, this idea of the gospel is important as parents, that we're not pointing our kids to feel like you're a failure and you'll never meet the standard, but rather teaching our kids from a young age, like there's that inner prompting in you that wants to disobey or wants to do things your own way. Well, what the Bible calls that sin. I mean, they learn about that in kids' church and Sunday school. So as parents, like to train them, like these rules are for your good. God's rules are for us, are good. Our rules in our home are for your good. But ultimately, we want to train our kids toward God's going to help you to want to be obedient. We're going to get to the heart of the matter rather than just focusing on just follow the rules and that's it. And that's your only job as a family. I hope that's making sense. I hope I'm being clear. Paul Tripp says it way better than me. But here's to summarize that a little bit more. What happens with parents then is there's this misunderstanding shows up, and parents believe that the rules are the primary tool for change. So we add rules when behavior worsens, we tighten consequences when kids resist, and we assume that the stricter enforcement's going to prompt our kids to have like the heart change, to develop this character. But we can't expect the rules or the law to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so then for us as parents, what we need to do is guard against the legalism of just focusing on making a bunch of rules and then just demanding obedience, but rather set the rules, set the tone, set the boundaries, but then train your kids towards why it matters, why honoring God matters, why following his rules matter. You know, like it said in the New Testament, how simple it is that when Jesus said, you love me, then obey. So teaching our kids from a young age, like me as the parent, I obey God and his commands for me as an adult. And those will be true for you. And they're true for you now in these ways as a kid. And I'm teaching you how to be obedient to me. And ultimately then that transfers to your child's obedience to the Lord. Again, pointing them to their own relationship with Jesus. Another great thing to do to really develop the heart behind it is as you set rules and as disobedience happens, and there certainly needs to be teaching moments and consequence for that. But what we say is, but you know what? We all have this brokenness. Mom and dad have that brokenness in us too. And what the Bible calls that is sin. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus came to pay the price for our sins and to give us a new heart that wants to obey him and to start teaching them then the fruits of the Spirit, right? When the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your kiddo's heart, as it did for you, it's bringing things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. I mean, self-control was probably the biggest fruit of the Spirit we focused on with our kids. And as I've said in other resources before, some of my most powerful parenting moments is when I've had to confess as the parent that I did not have self-control. So if I could own it in my own as a parent, then that just kind of bred trust with my kids. Like, okay, mom and dad aren't holding me to a standard that they can't themselves do. But I hope that makes sense, that it's not as parents, like let's not put the focus on the law or the rules and think that that's where our job ends, because then that's when we become legalistic. And I've seen this so many times over the years with parents that are just like super strict and they have all these rules, and their kids, like, they'll comply because they don't want to get in trouble, but their internal heart is rebellion. Their internal heart is resentment. Like, I can't wait to get out of here so I can do things my own way. Or they start sneaking around and they just find ways around the rules. So do you see how there's a miss then? Those parents, their heart is, well, we're trying to train our kids, but their misunderstanding is putting the power in the rules or the law, when that isn't what the source of the change of heart is going to be. That's just setting up the framework or the boundaries for our kids to understand the expectations. But we ultimately have to point them to what God wants to do in their heart. You know, the gospel message of them putting their faith in Jesus, of being renewed every day and choosing obedience and choosing to grow the fruits of the Spirit, so that when they leave the home and the rules are no longer there that they're being held accountable to, they've adopted the principles behind those rules and will put their own rules in place. So that's the principle of law. Okay, so then I want to pair that today then with the principle of inability. And here's how Tripp would say it. This is about recognizing what you're unable to do is essential to good parenting. So this talks about the power dynamic, because again, as parents, as we talked about in week one, that Tripp would call the owner parents are the people that are like, these are my kids, I'm in charge, I have the authority and the power to make the change and to make them into the person I want them to be. And what he's saying is, we need to have more of that ambassador mentality where it's like, no, I'm a tool God is using. I'm shepherding my child's heart, pointing my kids to the one who can do that heart change. So just to explore that a little more, this is an excerpt from the book. Parenting is not about exercising power for change in your children. Parenting is about your humble faithfulness in being willing to participate in God's work of change for the sake of your children. Parents, here's what you need to understand. God has given you authority for the work of change, but he's not granted you the power to make that change happen. But we buy into the delusion of thinking again and again that the power is ours. We think that if we speak just a little bit louder or stand a little bit closer or make that threat a little bit scarier or the punishment a little bit more severe, then our children will change. And because the change doesn't happen, then we tend to get even stronger in those things. So Tripp has this idea of these failing power tools. We actually did a topic on this on Pursue God. You could go listen to that podcast. But he talks about how parents get stuck in this mentality of like power and control. And it definitely becomes clearer when you have teenagers and now maybe physically you're not bigger or stronger than your kid. So now there's a physical imbalance. You can only yell so loudly. And then eventually your kids just tune that out. So what he would say is like parents need to get away from the power tools that fail, that do not bring the heart change in our kids, that no matter how many rules we put in place, no matter how much we yell, that is not ultimately going to change the heart of our kid. Only God can do that. So like one of the examples he gives is the failing power tool of reward, that some parents, you know, are like, okay, Billy, if you go make your bed, then mommy will give you a sucker. And so you're training your kid like, if you do X or Y, then I'll give you something. And so the problem with that is like, that's a way a parent's trying to control behavior or get your kid to do something. But as your kids get older, it's like, they're going to learn to be like, you know, is obeying that rule worth the reward you're offering me? So do you see how it's not training in your kids a heart of obedience? It's training your kids to be like, do the cost analysis of, does obeying in this area, is it worth it to me for the reward that my parents are offering? Rather than training our kids to be like, obedience is the best thing for you, that as you, the best way to honor mom and dad, the best way to honor God is to live an obedient life, to have a heart to say, because I love you, I want to respect you. Because I love you, I trust that the rules you have in place are for my good. So I'm going to honor them. I'm going to follow them. I'm not going to just do it because you're yelling at me and I'm scared to death, or because you're offering me a reward and that's the only reason why I'm complying, because that's not long-term heart change. That's just in the moment, obey in this moment kind of change. It's circumstantial. It's temporary. You know, some parents also use shame, that if you just make your kids feel bad enough or make them feel like how much they're hurting you, again, it's a temporary, more of a manipulative tactic that's not training and pointing your kids to the love of the Lord, for submission to him, for recognizing that his ways are best because he loves us. And as parents, we're a reflection of that. that our rules are for our kids' good, that our heart towards our kids is not to control them or to want to have this power over them, but rather to guide them and mentor them along and point them to the one who can do the ultimate heart change. So those are the two laws we covered today, the principle of law and the principle of inability. And so parents, again, we're just kind of stacking these things upon each other. Some of them are a little bit, you know, kind of say a little bit the same thing. But I think ultimately, let's just remember, parents, that our role is to be the ambassador. We're representative of the Lord. We're pointing our kids to Jesus. We're doing it with grace. We're not putting an expectation that the law or the rules are going to be the thing that make our kids into the kind of kid we want them to be. We got to get to the heart of the matter. We've got to teach our kids obedience. We got to be teaching the fruits of the Spirit so that when they leave our home, they've adopted those values because they see that they make sense and therefore they're good. And you've been teaching them from a place that they've been able to trust your heart towards them, rather than them just being like, I can't wait to get out of here because my parents just control me and they just have all these rules for me to follow. And there's no relational connection to that. So take this challenge, bring this into your own parenting, pray through this and see how maybe your parenting philosophy just needs to shift and recognize that it all needs to come through that lens of God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And as parents, we can reflect that in how we relate to our kids and how we implement the laws and how we discipline and how we don't try to control our kids, but rather we lead and guide them towards the Lord and where we want them to go.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.